Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, so if you have a stony heart made out of brick or other substances, just know God can change that. Amen? Lots of water, lots of word, a little bit of massaging, right? A little bit of work by the Holy Spirit, and you too can have a heart of flesh. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to, before I get started, I just thank you, Sean, for praying for Israel. What a crazy time. We shouldn't be shocked. I'm going to read to you out of Psalms 2, just for a minute. It says, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us.' Why are the nations in a rage?" They don't like the fact that the God of heaven and earth really is in control. Now, this might sound harsh, but you know there's other gods that are being served. There's people and nations that serve a different God. And that is because there's a warfare in heaven. Sean actually mentioned it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in the heavenlies. I was having a discussion with somebody the other day, and we were talking about the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, that kind of stuff. And we were talking about Daniel had a visitation from an angel, Michael. I think Gabriel showed up as well. And this angel says to him that, "Hey, look, your word was heard 21 days ago, but I was in conflict with the prince of Persia." This person that I was chatting with said, "Oh, Paul, that seems a little spiritual, a little over the top, you know, when you start talking about the unseen like that." And I thought for a moment, wow, we're believers, right, in Christ? So let me ask you if this is over the top. See, I believe that Jesus came and died. I believe he rose again. That's pretty spiritual. I believe he was glorified. And I believe he sits at the right hand of the Father. And I believe he will judge the earth. And I believe that we will be resurrected. And I believe that we're going to be clothed in a new body and new glory. And I believe that we're going to actually sit in eternity, or as you will, on a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever and ever. And that seemed to me to be pretty spiritual. So I thought, well, why would thinking about warfare in the heavenlies be such a bad deal? It's true. There is a warfare that's taking place. All you have to do is look across the seas and you see it. The enemy is not your friend. Just get up in the morning and ask yourself, why does it feel like sometimes I get oppressed? Why do I feel sometimes like I want to go forward for God and I'm getting pushback? Why do my kids, sorry, young people in the room, but this is how parents kind of see things. Why do my kids not want what I want for them? I only want what's good, and if you're like me, I just want my kids to not do what I did. That would be a blessing. Just start there. If I did it and it wasn't good, can't I just tell you? Can't you just believe me? It seems like there's pushback. I get that. I had a lot of pushback too. Down in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 7, it shows Michael shows up again and says, there's war in heaven. What are we shocked about? It's going on. It's in a realm that we don't see, It's what we call the unseen realm. Those of you that were saved 40 plus years ago, we used to call it walking in the spirit or the realm of the spirit. Now we call it the unseen realm because that's how we do things now. But in this unseen realm, by the way, did you know that you're directly connected to Israel? And I don't want to get geopolitical kind of stuff, but I just want to get covenant kind of stuff. That we've been grafted in. So if you think they're not going to come after you too, well, I don't know. I think if you're in covenant with Abraham, which is our new covenant, you're not liked. You have an enemy, and he uses people. That was a side note. I told Pastor Sean after I gave him my notes, I said, I'm not so sure I'm actually going to use those notes, but I'm going to go ahead and try. Because right now I have a lot on my heart and mind that I would love to just dump out there on the table and say, what do you think of this? For example, when the enemy rises up, what do you do? Right? What's the first thing we should do? Well, the first thing we should do is we should get a hold of Jesus and hang on for dear life. That's the first thing we should do, right? And don't try to fix it. Ooh, that was a clink. So don't try to fix it because you've done the second thing first. You need to do the first thing first. You need to get a hold of Jesus, okay? Jesus in John chapter 16, and I don't know if you guys are going to be able to keep up with me up there on the slides or not, but in John 16, he was talking to the disciples, and he said, look, I'm going to have to go away. That's not going to be a happy day for you, but I want you to understand something. I have to go away. If I don't go away, then the helper is not going to come. We need a helper. Oh, boy. Today, more than ever before, we need a helper. We need, what did the scripture says that you shall be endued with power after that the Holy Spirit come upon you. What do you need right now to overcome? Power. Where are you going to get it? The Holy Spirit. How are you going to do that if you're not first hanging on to the Lord? And not, don't try to fix it. These are the kind of days where you need to hear from God first and take action second. I'm going to give you like 4 points. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, can I get that one up there, guy? I don't see anybody up there, so I don't know if they're... There's 16, 1-6. Okay, let's just stay right there for a minute. So when the Lord had come, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? Now, this is their question. They've missed the Lord in John 16. He's about to go away. And they're saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Can you see where their mind was at? Their mind was like here on planet Earth. Next slide, if you will, please. He said to them, hey, it's not for you to know. Have you ever sat around? I kind of like to hang out with prophetic people sometimes. Sometimes they get a little, yeah. Anyway, have you ever sat with people that they've got it figured out, the day, the hour that he's coming back kind of thing? The month? You know, sometimes it's their birthday. Have you ever sat around with those folks? It's great fun. But right here, I kind of get relieved when it's not for me to know. The Father's already fixed that. It's what you do between now and then. That's what's important. Right? Let's do the next slide. Maybe these slides are good, Sean. Thank you. But he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts or the remotest parts of the earth. Just for you Greek-loving students, the word for witness there is the word martus in the Greek. We get our English word martyr. He's going to empower you to lay your life down. That may be physically, but it may not be physically. You may just have to die to self or die to your own wants and desires and serve God in the way that he calls you to do that. And he doesn't call everybody to do that the same. Can I say that? If as many people as there are in the room and online, hi online, there are things and ways that God has for you to serve him. Because we're not the same. I used to call it cookie cutter Christianity, but my wife's nickname is Cookie, so I kind of have to watch that. But cookie cutter Christianity is where we all look the same, act the same, dress the same, think the same, believe the same, pray the same, sing the same, 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 same. And the body is variety. I need you, you need me. You might think, Paul, you're kind of weird sometimes. I think that's okay, I know I am. And it's you that balance a guy like me, so thank you so much, right? But then a little weirdness in your life might be important, you know, a little. Hello, you out there? Yep. Okay, so in my younger days, you would respond with, amen. We got them. Okay, next slide. That's it? Man, I didn't give you many slides. Okay, well, here's the deal. In Luke chapter 9, it says, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. What does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple. He says to do something, we do it. Doesn't get any harder than that, right? All right. I'm going to switch gears on you. This is really what's on my heart. Do you remember the woman in Mark chapter 5 that had the 12 years? She had the issue of blood. Do you remember that? If you don't know that story, Mark chapter 5 is a good place to go. Luke chapter 8 would be the other place to go. But I want you to think about this for a minute. The scripture says that the life is in the blood. This woman has an issue where life is not staying in her body correctly. And she's in a place where she's desperate. After 12 years, she's spent all her money. She's seen all the doctors. Nothing's gotten better. In fact, it's gotten worse. And she gets this thought in her head. In the midst of a crowd where she shouldn't have been because she's unclean. So she's in their culture. She's supposed to have this big expanse around her so nobody can touch her. And she's to touch no one. She gets this thought in her head that if I could just get to him. If I could just get a hold of him. That's not in the book just so we can read it. It's in the book so that we can have a picture, an understanding of what causes God to respond. I remember telling my kids one time, I don't want you to love me because of the things I give you. I'm just a parent. I just want you to love me because I'm your dad. I'm not going to do everything right. The only dad I know that does everything right, not here, right? But I don't want you to love me because I'm always giving in to you. I'm always wanting you to have the new things. Or I want you to love me because I'm your dad. And we'll work out the details as we go. Because I don't want you to just come to me when you want something. I want you to come to me so that we can develop a relationship and one day actually look at each other when you're a little older or much older and we can say, we're friends. We've become friends. We're supposed to be friends with God. That's a deep relationship. This girl reaches out and she gets a hold, and Luke says it this way, she gets a hold of the fringe or the tassel of his garment, right? And she's instantly healed. Jesus says, who touched me? Okay, folks, here's a crowd. And in this crowd, he's looking for those of us that in desperation and in hunger for more, we're going to risk it. Yes. We're going to jump out there and we're going to get a hold of Jesus.
Yes.
And we're going to believe that when we touch him, he's going to know it. And he's going to know it because he said, I felt power. The old King James, I think, said virtue. But the Greek says dunamis. I felt power. Yeah. Flow. Yeah. You want to feel the power of God?
Yes.
Get a hold of him.
Yes.
But what did she really get a hold of? Well, this is my tribute to Israel today. Okay? If you're Jewish folks, you'd know what this is right away. Let's see if I can put it out in front of you. This is called a tzitzit. Yeah, I'm not going to try it again. Tzitzit. It's the tassel that hangs on the prayer shawl. Or in Jesus' time, it actually hung on the four corners of their shirt, their inner garment. This is what she got a hold of. She got a hold of that and was instantly healed. And you got to wonder, well, why? Why this, and why does it even look this way? Exodus talks about it. Deuteronomy 22:12 mentions it. But I want to tell you how this thing is made and what it actually means, so that when you see the Israelis on the videos in their prayer shawls, I want you to have something in your mind, okay? I want you to know what they're doing. Now, we have Messianic folks that we engage with that they're struggling right now. This thing is actually four cords, three white ones. I did. Yeah. I'm not going to tie another one for you because I would just fall apart and start crying, and I don't want to do that publicly. It's a mess. But what happens is you get these three white cords and one blue cord. You fold it over and you make this loop that I've got hiding here. And then you tie any of you guys know what a square knot is? Yeah? You tie a square knot at the top there, right? And the next thing you do is you twist it. And you've heard the scripture, bind us together.
Yeah.
A threefold cord. It's not easily broken.
Yeah.
This is it. Bind us together with cords that can't be broken. This blue one is called the shamash. The shamash then is taken out of the white ones, and it's looped through, and in this one, it's 10 times. Okay? Then another square knot, or double knot, they call it. And then 5 times, then 6 times, then 5 times, and you're done. You tie it off with another square knot. And this is the tassel that she grabbed a hold of. What does it mean to a Jew? Well, it's a tzitzit. That numerically in Hebrew is 600. That's the numeric value in their alphabet, 600. You have 8 knots, or 8 cords, excuse me, and 5 knots, right? It's the number of laws. It's 613 laws. And they're to remember those. And we think law, legalism, don't think that way. Think law, culture. Okay? This 10 up here, 10, 5, 6, 5, this is really easy. Yod, He, Vav, He. You would know that as YHWH. You would know that as a tetragrammaton. She got a hold of the name.
Yes. Wow. Come on.
Wow.
She got a hold of the name. There's a law. In the Hebrew culture, the law is his name is above every name.
Yes.
That in his name, healing must flow.
Yes. Yes.
In his name, the Holy Spirit will come upon you.
Yes.
In his name, you will receive power.
Yes.
To overcome.
Yes.
In his name, the law must be in effect. All we need to do is be desperate. I heard one time a pastor say that hunger is the sign of humility.
Yeah.
If you're hungry for Jesus, It's a sign of humility. It means you're willing to put yourself in a place to receive.
Yes.
Are we hungry?
Yeah.
Well, here's a sign of hunger. Are we desperate? There's people dying, and God is crying out to us to reach out. Now, I don't mean in Israel. I mean in our neighborhood.
Yes.
Do you bear his name? Do we carry his name? Then you already need to come to a place to start saying, Father, fill me with your spirit.
Yes.
We sang the songs this morning. It's all there. It's all around us all the time. But have we gotten a hold of him? Have we really taken the time to understand once you get a hold of Jesus, life is never going to be the same? It's never going to be the same. We're going to struggle. We're going to fight. We're going to kick. We're going to want our natural lives to rule because that's what natural men do. But we were born of the Spirit for a reason. You notice anything about that blue cord, if you can actually see it? It's about 2 inches longer. That's to remind you, you will always need his Spirit to lead and guide you. Always. That no matter what you do in and of yourself, it won't be enough. It just won't be enough. I don't have the heart like you talked about with the concrete stuff, but I've always gone, missions? You know, that's not me. And then somebody says something like, well, maybe you've got a concrete heart. So, and I go, ugh. Lord, make me sensitive that when you speak to me, I can hear it.
Yes.
And then I can respond to it because I want to bear your name.
Yes, yes.
I want my life to reflect your goodness and your glory. I want healing to flow into and from the body of Christ. How many of you are sitting here with the gifts and callings of God and you haven't done anything for years? I don't care anymore. It's come to a point where you finally just say, look, God, if you put a call in my life, let's just do it. Let's just do it. But what do people think? Well, who cares? How about this? How many of you are sitting out there right now and God has filled you with his Spirit, and maybe or maybe not, you've prayed in the Spirit and you've seen supernatural things, and then all of a sudden it's just kind of like normal. I think you said fan the flame.
Yes.
Fan the flame. I know a guy one time that was praying, and God told him, fan the flame, and he had this vision, and his arms were on fire up to his elbows, and he didn't know what to do. So he went around, and he just touched people, boom, and they put a little bit of fire on them. And but it didn't diminish, so he just kept touching people. And he thought, this is just like the book of Acts. This is just like Acts chapter 2. When the fire of God fell and the wind blew into the room and people began to do things and see things they'd never seen or done before. I like the thing about the moon that Sean brought up. Have you read? And maybe you have. I'm sure you have. Acts chapter 2. And I just want to read where Peter is actually talking to the folks and telling them, hey, this is that. I love that sermon. This is that. They're wondering what's going on. These people are speaking in tongues, and there's fire on their head, and there's a wind blowing around, and I can't find chapter 2. Okay, I'll get it for you in just a second. Give me a moment. Okay, you ready? So this is Peter's sermon. And by the way, Peter wasn't like your best sermonizing kind of guy, right? He was a fisherman. So if you think you're not qualified, forget that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's what qualifies you to preach. Hi, can I tell you what Jesus has done in my life? That's it. You're qualified. Hi, can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? It's the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. So this is what he says after I turn the page. He says, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit and they shall prophesy. Right? This is, by the way, I love this, young people in the room. Check this out. This is for you. It shall be in the last days, God says, I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind and your sons and daughters. Yes. Young folks, this is you. This is your generation. This is you. This is what he wants to do with you. In your schools, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, in your groups, when you hang out together. This is you. He wants to pour a spirit out upon you, and your young men shall see visions. By the way, guys in the room with any gray hair at all, this is where we get distinguished right here. Because it says, and your old men will dream dreams. Well, if you're dreaming dreams and not seeing visions, this is you. Just saying. Then he says, even upon my bond slaves or my love slaves, both men and women. Ladies? Come on. Yeah. Then he says, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit and they shall prophesy. I wish I had 5 more minutes to tell you the difference between the Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophecy. I won't go there. I'll just tell you it's different. And the prophecy that he's talking about is edification, exhortation, and comfort. He's talking about taking the word of God in those three fashions and pouring it forth into society. Then he goes on and says this, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant, here we go, I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
You know what's really interesting is we get in a, I kind of grew up in a Pentecostal circle and I will be done here in 2 minutes. We grew up where we stop at the speaking in tongues part. Right? Yeah! And then it goes on and says, and there'll be signs and wonders in the earth, and it's blood and smoke, and that's kind of depressing. But it's the preparation for his coming.
Yeah.
Don't be shaken by what you see on CNN, Fox News, Mega, whatever, whoever, why ever. Don't be shaken by those things.
Right.
Be shaken from within. God is preparing. Anytime we see something like this going on in the world, in your mind, I would love for you to just start thinking, great outpouring.
Yes.
God is on the throne.
Yes, he is.
Great outpouring. When people are in need and they reach out and get a hold of his name,
yeah.
He responds.
Yes, he does.
We need God to respond right here in my heart and yours. Right here in our community and globally. But God needs to hear us be desperate.
Yes.
He wants to hear us roar. He wants to hear us cry out.
Yes. Yes.
Young folks, it's up to you. Your generation, I'm sorry. I used to think we had it bad. And now I realize you need us because it's rough for you. It's things going on we never even dreamed of. But we're here for you. We are here for you. We will pray for you. We will believe God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We will pray God put his anointing on you and use you to prophesy and to bring healing to the nations. That's his heart for you. Right here in this house and across the globe. Why don't you Close your eyes and pray with me for a moment. Father, I love you. God, I just thank you for this moment to share my heart. And Father, if I didn't bring some sort of teaching or whatever, God, that just thank you for letting me share my heart. Yes. Father, I pray that you would reach out right now, God, and put a hunger in us, a hunger that goes into a desperation, God. We want to carry your name to the nations. Father, help us as that woman in the Bible that reached out and clung to your garment.
Yes.
Heal us. Heal our land. Heal this nation.
Yes, God.
Pour out your spirit.
Yep.
Be glorified, God.
Thank you,
be glorified. Father, we ask that you would just forgive us. That you would just cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds, God, to be more in tune with you. We need you. We want you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. May it continue. Touch our bodies and our minds now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.